While many are quick to dismiss college arts degrees as frivolous or impractical, our guest this hour says it's time to stop denigrating an education in the arts, and we should be encouraging students to follow their artistic passions. What do you say? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 10th. So, did you receive a degree in the arts? Are you working in that field or not? And does that even matter? What did you receive with your arts degree? Would you encourage your child to pursue a degree in the arts? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ellen Rosewall, a professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, formerly on the board of Arts Wisconsin and former chair of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. She co-wrote an op-ed piece for the Green Bay Press Gazette entitled Stop Dismissing College Degrees in the Arts. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. So what made you write this Defense of the Arts degree piece?
Well, there was recently an article in Kiplinger's Personal Finance online magazine listing the 10 worst college majors for careers in 2015, and music, art, and theater were all on that list. And when I looked at it, it really was looking at things like availability of jobs, mid-career earnings, and so forth. And my thought was that, first of all, they might have misunderstood the impetus of arts majors and what they actually do with those degrees. And the second thing is that they have assumed that high earnings and availability of lots of jobs would be a deciding factor for a college student seeking a major.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more. The assumption that a high potential paycheck should be one of the major considerations for which major to choose in college. In your eyes, what's wrong with that assumption?
Well, what's wrong with that assumption is that for an 18-year-old to choose a college degree or a college major, they're thinking about what they're passionate about. They're thinking about what they're good at, what they may be gifted at. They're not necessarily looking at something and to choose a college major which they might dislike or which they might not be good at just because they might potentially earn more money over the course of their career.
Yeah, and that being said, though, college is expensive, especially these days, requiring students to sometimes go into tens of thousands of dollars in debt. So what's wrong with encouraging students to go into a major that might have a greater potential salary?
Well, I think let's go back to the first thing I said was that they might have, in Kiplinger's survey, might have misunderstood the variety of options that could come with an art degree or a music or theater or other liberal arts kind of degrees. I think if you think, for instance, if somebody gets a music degree, that what they want to be is a music performer, then maybe there are fewer job opportunities being a performer of a certain kind of music. But a good example would be me. I have a music degree, and I actually have a master's degree in opera performance.
I didn't know that.
Yes, that's true, which is probably one of, you know, if you talk about impractical, there are probably 3 or 4 people making a full-time living at opera performance in the United States. But I have had a very successful career in various forms of teaching and various forms of performing and putting it together in what is being now called a portfolio career. And lots of arts majors do have portfolio careers. They maybe make their art or perform their art, but they also might teach. They also might do consulting work. They also might do other things that add up to more of an entrepreneurial life, which for many arts majors is more in line not only with their talents and skills, but the lifestyle they want to lead as well.
Yeah, and you say Kiplinger is wrong to assume that college exists to train students for specific careers. Why do you say that's not true?
Well, what I yes, if you want to train for a specific career, we have a system. We have technical colleges and vocational schools in our country where you learn just the skills that are needed for a particular job, and that's it. College includes a lot of other things. You know, includes in most colleges you take a wide variety of courses, not just courses in your major. And there's a reason for that, because it's not necessarily just the content that you are studying. It's a method of learning that you are studying. And in the early days of our country, the idea of amassing a college system where the middle class would have access to college was to create citizens, was to create people who could reason, who could think, who had a variety of approaches to problems, and could operate not just in one specific job, but perhaps in different jobs and careers throughout their lives, perhaps as good citizens in their communities, could vote with intelligence, and so forth.
We are talking with Ellen Rosewall, a professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. She co-wrote an op-ed for the Green Bay Press Gazette entitled Stop Dismissing College Degrees in the Arts. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Ellen, don't other majors also prepare students to be citizens?
Yes, I think certainly. I think what I'm objecting to is the fact that that people think arts might not, and you know, to lead people. We're getting a lot of people in all areas of society calling, for instance, for students to study more STEM degrees. That STEM standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. On the premise that a lot of the jobs of the 21st century require knowledge in those areas. Well, there's also a movement to change STEM to STEAM and include the arts in that equation, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, because the desire of STEM is to think of the new ideas to solve the problems of the 21st century. The creative thinking has a big component of that and a lot to offer that as well.
Let's take some calls. We have Bill in Milwaukee with us. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guest as well. First of all, I love the idea of turning STEM into STEAM. I think it's vital. Art in the United States, art in any culture, is the great binder. Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson, Sigourney Weaver, they graduated from Yale. And all the actors and actresses, many of them got degrees. And Carol Burnett said an actor should have at least 2 years of college just to pull yourself together. But even if you aren't an arts major like the MFA, that is very popular all over the United States, especially in the theater, art is the great synthesizer of learning. If you eliminate art, you might not even remember everything that you learned in the STEM. Our nation needs it. All nations need it. And I don't know what kind of capitalistic spasm said that we don't belong on the inside of the STEM.
What's going on here, Ellen?
Well, I obviously, Bill, I agree with you, and I think that a lot of times we see much more emphasis placed on marketable skills or things employers want, forgetting that a lot of employers also want creative thinkers and thinkers who can use their right brains as well as their left brains, creates someone who has a specific set of skills, but not the ability to grow and change throughout their lives, to change, to learn, to adapt, and to bring those skills to the workplace as well.
Let's go next to Barb in Green Bay. Hello, Barb.
Hi. I actually don't work in the arts at all, but I am so grateful to anybody who goes into the arts, because it's the arts that enable all of us to transcend beyond the mundane and practical, and it gives depth and meaning to everyone's life.
Thank you very much. Just a minute before a news break for a response, Ellen.
I agree with Barb as well, and I think, you know, what would we be as a society if we only had people that all they knew was one set of skills and did not have the ability to have beauty and meaning in their life.
Are there certain things that you may have learned in getting an arts degree that have helped you in whatever job you are in today? Would you encourage your children to pursue a degree in the arts? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back talking with Ellen Rosewall, professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, about her op-ed, Stop Dismissing College Degrees in the Arts. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A recent survey from Kiplinger's listed degrees in art and music and theater as among the 10 worst. We are talking with a guest this hour who disagrees with that, who says we need to stop dismissing college degrees in the arts. Ellen Rosewall, professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, is with us, telling us why, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think a degree in the arts is frivolous or impractical in this day and age? Or do you think that it is important and helps us become better learners and better citizens? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, let's go back to the phones as we have many callers. Tim in Middleton is with us. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. So I got my MFA from Madison in 1987 and have actually been, I mean, what I did was a degree in furniture design with Skip Johnson and have been building furniture for 30 years. But, you know, I felt, to a certain extent, I'd have been better off getting an MBA rather than an MFA because I can build the furniture, I've been doing it, but, you know, I guess my question to your guest was, I felt from at least 30 years ago, I as an art student was so unprepared by the department to run a business that I would just like to see. I mean, if you want to get these kids, I mean, I do want to see kids in the arts and doing everything, but they've got to broaden their perspective, if you will, to, you know, to what it takes to actually survive and do it.
Ellen?
Well, I certainly don't disagree with that, and you may have noticed that what I teach is called arts management, and my specialty is teaching exactly what you have talked about, you know, for students to be able to manage the business side of their careers, for them to work in arts organizations and so forth, and there are certainly a lot of trends in management today to teach specific industries in what's called scenario management, arts management, sports management, hospitality management, and I think that there certainly is a growing need for people who are having the kind of careers that I've described before, the entrepreneurial careers, the portfolio careers, the careers making and doing and selling and performing art and music and theater. You're right. We do need to equip the students with the ability to manage their careers, and that can be part of it, and it is in many colleges now.
Yeah, because, you know, the joke of the book that I was going to write was, after 30 years of doing this, is how to make millions of dollars of furniture and have nothing to show for it.
But Tim, let me get this straight, Tim. You're saying that the making of the furniture, the art part of your degree is the easy part, but being the businessman is the hard part, and that's why you wish you got an MBA?
Absolutely. I can design it. I can build it. It's the business end of it that drives me insane. And I got absolutely no, there was 30 years ago in Madison, they'll tell you that you could have done like a twin degree or something, but my experience with the art department was, and quite frankly, I had a professor that said, we just give them all A's and let the real world sort it out. You know, so, and hopefully level of accountability has changed with these, but that's what you really need to do. You know, you've got to get these creative kids and everything, but you've got to give them a basis of what it takes, because, you know, quite frankly, a lot of people like myself that can do this kind of stuff, we're not numbers people to begin with, nor do we care. But that doesn't mean that you know, the real world isn't out there.
So what you're saying, Ellen, though, is that your arts management is a degree that artists can pursue.
Yes, absolutely. And I respectfully disagree that a business degree is what people need in order to have an entrepreneurial career. An MBA might teach you how to work in the corporate world, but you have to look carefully and discriminate between things that are being studied in order to get the skills that you would need to start and manage your own entrepreneurial business. That's a completely different thing. So I think what you bring up, Tim, is a wonderful thing too. If you are looking at college as a career preparation program, then you need to be a very intelligent consumer, and you need to figure out what you need and what you want. But I think one of the points that I am making is that. Yes, you do need a job, and yes, you know, you will need a job after college. But to look at college solely as a job preparation program then dismisses some of the wonderful other things that you can learn in the college experience that you may or may not even be able to put to immediate use, and to pay attention to those. I mean, for example, I know a lot of kids say, well, I'll just get those general education credits out of the way, when sometimes those are the ones that turn out to be the most useful to students in helping them learn with their whole brain.
Yeah, well, let's just, what is the purpose of college, Ellen?
What is the purpose of college? I think that the purpose of college is multifaceted. I think the college coming as it does for many people, I would say even most people, between high school and adulthood, is a way to certainly prepare for adulthood. But adulthood is more than just a job. Adulthood may include also relationships. Adulthood may include living, working, and being within a community. It may include parenthood. It includes being a citizen. And all of those things are part of what the college experience is and should be about.
And again, I'm kind of repeating myself to some extent, but why, you know, couldn't I learn about being an adult and as well as getting a practical background in a specific career?
Certainly, and I think there are needs. There are needs for all careers. There are needs for all types of workers and entrepreneurs and business owners in our society. And I think that, I'm not trying to dismiss people who are looking to train for specific careers. I think also you made a point earlier, Joy, that it's hard to defend sometimes, you know, spending this much money to say that you're not training for a specific career or you're training for a low paying career. But I think my point is that we need to move away from the idea that college training equals job. The data also shows that even if you do get an MBA or if you do get a STEM degree, that isn't necessarily the guarantee of a good job either. Employers are looking for other skills besides just knowledge, And that was the point I was trying to make at the top of the hour, I think, is that people are looking for people who can work collaboratively, people who can think creatively, people who can think critically. And I think that's one thing I haven't mentioned before, is the idea that a lot of college learning is different than other kinds of learning, in that you're not just learning facts, you're learning a method of examining evidence, of research, of trying to find what's true and what's not true, and those are skills that are also needed in today's society and by employers.
We had a caller, Sue, who just dropped, who wanted to agree about the importance of the arts and an arts degree, even economically. She says she is an engineer, but she notes that Apple is popular partly because their products are designed by artists.
Well, I think that in Steve Jobs' autobiography, he tells a story that he thought the most important college course that he ever took was calligraphy, because it gave him the design mind, and and that, of course, was what has made Apple successful. I mean, we are into an economy now where many times the ideas are more valuable than the actual hardware, and Apple is a really good example of that. And if you don't have that design sense, if you don't have that creative sense in looking at it, then it's going to be difficult to move into the 21st century. And the other thing is, we just don't know what the 20th century is going to hold, what the economy is going to look like. So preparing students very narrowly does not prepare them to make the changes and create the ideas that are going to be necessary in the 21st century.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Ellen Rosewall, who's a professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. She says, stop dismissing college degrees in the arts. That's the title of an op-ed that she co-authored that appeared recently in the Green Bay Press Gazette. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. Did you receive an arts degree, and how did it help you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Would you encourage your kids to pursue an arts degree? Why or why not? You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next caller is Scott in Columbus. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. Just a comment on some of the recent discussion. I got an art general degree in the 70s, and I took Chinese calligraphy, actually in the Chinese department, just out of interest. And it was one of the most challenging courses that I took, because, you know, you're communicating, but you're thinking in pictures when you're doing that. But that's not the reason I called originally. At the time I was finishing my degree at the UW-Madison, a number of people who were in the same situation were really worrying about how they were going to apply the knowledge that they had gained, the artistic skills, you know, to the real world. So some of them decided to go to MATC and take the commercial art course in order to learn, you know, how better to apply their artistic skills, you know, to getting jobs and having careers. And at the same time, I knew people who had initially gone to MATC in commercial art and felt like they learned about the commercial aspect, but they really didn't go deeply enough into, you know, art. So then after going to MATC in commercial art, then they went to UW and took fine arts courses. So it was very interesting to see people in my situation. And I had done commercial art since I was 12 years old. I started drawing at age 4. So even, you know, long, long before I went to university, I had commercial backgrounds. So I wasn't as worried like so many other people that I encountered in art school.
That's great. And and Scott, just because we're talking about getting an arts degree maybe right now, do you think it's still worthwhile?
Well, this has been, you know, a topic that is near and dear to me. The arts encourage people to look at the big picture. You know, even in the letters and sciences school, you know, you end up taking history, philosophy, you know, theater, drama. They encourage people to you know, get outside of their comfort zone and really, you know, maybe contemplate questions that if they were, you know, just going to school to get a job, they would never do. And I think this, you know, this equips you to deal with ethical, moral issues that you are likely to encounter in the real world. It better equips people. And I think it's absolutely essential for young people, you know, to be gaining this kind of knowledge when they're at the university.
Thanks very much. Elena, response?
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I think that that the idea of thinking outside the box, going outside your comfort zone, I wrote in the op-ed about being able to take criticism and defend yourself. You know, those are all things you learn when you're studying the arts, and those are, you know, again, those are valuable skills to have.
Yeah, it sounded though like our caller was also saying that maybe, you know, you could use more cross training or maybe even more technical college training to turn the arts into work.
Well, you know, yes, and thanks for bringing that back up. The thought I had when he was saying that is that we really have put things in silos, you know, and then when he says commercial art versus fine art, there, you know, that is, I think, a function of our developing a system in our society that thinks of training as opposed to learning, and creation of taxpayers instead of creation of citizens and monetizing things. I think that we have seen a lot of some of those silos breaking down in some of our college degrees these days. At UWGB, for example, we focus on what we call interdisciplinarity, which is the problem solving from a variety of angles and learning how to cross over those barriers. And I think that I think we're going to find again in the 21st century that we need to kind of break down those barriers and between art and entertainment, between commercial art and fine art, and so forth, in order to make sure that people are able to get what they need and what they want.
Outside of the arts, are there specific careers that might be especially well suited to arts majors?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I can only say I think that degrees in the arts, depending on what you do and what you take, can be translated into a variety of situations. I can give my own son as an example. He has a bachelor's degree in music, and he learned how to program computers when he was working in the electronic music lab as a composer, and now works as a programmer. And his creative skill serves him well as a computer programmer, and then he plays in his band and does composing and other musical. He has a private business where he has some online compositions that can be used for background music and so forth, and he has that as a kind of a sideline. So I think that probably is an example of crossover skills, and I'm sure there are many, many more.
Connie in Appleton is with us. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I'm a mom of a daughter who is in the graphic design program out at Stout. My niece took Ellen's class, Katie Mullman's. She just loves her.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And she's a blooming little entrepreneur. I mean, I was at the Artery this weekend, and I was amazed at the talent and the entrepreneurship in the Valley. And I work at St. Norbert. I work with Mike. I'm in the library, so your son worked for us for a little while.
Oh, yes, he did.
So, you know, it's just a little small world, but I just think that, you know, without, like they said, the whole encompassing of the way that the arts open up the kids' minds to think things through, that they can do anything. And to take the passion away just to get a big paycheck, I think, is awful. And, you know, it was difficult for me to, like, you know, because my daughter, her passion is photography and design. And so, I mean, it's the fine arts thing, but she's going to get a job and she's going to be fine. And she doesn't, you know, need, you know, bells and whistles. And I just think that, you know, not to dismiss the arts, because there's so much out there that, you know, they can do. So
thank you very much, Connie. We'll get Ellen to respond after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take more of your calls and questions on college degrees in the arts. Worthwhile or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Ellen Rosewall, who is a professor and chair of arts management at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, formerly on the board of Arts Wisconsin and former chair of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association board. She co-wrote an op-ed along with her husband for the Green Bay Press Gazette entitled "Stop Dismissing College Degrees in the Arts." And we are talking about whether college degrees in the arts are worthwhile or not, and welcoming your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also share your experiences. And I mentioned, Ellen, that you co-wrote this with your husband, Michael Rosewall, Associate Academic Dean at St. Norbert College, because our caller before news mentioned his name, and talked about how successful she believes her daughter will be, who just recently, I think, got a degree from you.
Well, I think, yeah, Connie's niece, Katie, was an arts management major at UWGB and is a wonderful entrepreneur in the arts. And I appreciated, well, first of all, yes, I wanted to acknowledge and thank you, Joy, my husband, Michael, who is Associate Academic Dean at St. Norbert, but also on the music faculty and also has degrees in music. He was not able to join us this morning, but he certainly co-wrote the article and feels as very much as I do. But one of the things that Connie said that I wanted to pick on that I haven't picked up on before is that she said she was at an art event last weekend and was talking about how wonderful the variety of arts are in the Fox Valley, and I think that is also something that we haven't mentioned this morning. You know, there may not be as many jobs in, you know, direct jobs in the arts as there might be in some other fields, but there are jobs, and we need the arts, and there are people who make a good living. And I think if we discouraged people from pursuing artistic careers, then we would not have the arts in our communities, and we wouldn't have the quality of life that we enjoy now with a variety of art and music and theater in our communities.
Yeah. Tim in New Berlin is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hello. I just wanted to say I went to school to the UWM system with an arts degree, and I am so happy I did. I'm somebody that came from poverty, and for me, I actually got a scholarship. And I remember the scholarship letter read, "Give this kid an opportunity to get the exposure." I remember reading that. I didn't know what that meant until I went to college. And for me, you know, people need to understand that when you go to an art school, no matter what art it is, it's very rigorous. It's no different than if you go for math, you know, you take an advanced calculus, all these things. It's the same thing with art. You know, students are challenged at a very rigorous level. That being said, I was able to actually start my own business and do a lot of things and be able to interact in a world with CEOs and professionalism and able to do that because of the things I learned and the exposure I got at the university. I do want to make a second point. I noticed our political climate in Wisconsin when it comes to art is because they're telling us now, a lot of the Republicans and a lot of the, you know, our governor, they're encouraging us to make our kids go to a tech school or go somewhere where they're going to get to fill these low-paying, low-skilled jobs. And I think to myself, wow, what if I would have went down that path instead of the one I did go? You know, where would I be? You know, so I would encourage if your kid wants to go to art school and get a degree, I would encourage you to promote that.
Thank you very much, Tim. So Tim says that a lot of people think getting an arts degree is some sort of a walk in the park, and it's not at all, Ellen.
Well, first of all, I want to know if I could, like, take Tim on tour with me. That was such an eloquent and passionate defense of the art degree, and I think that's one of the things it does bring up is I think that there's a kind of a misunderstanding about the arts as being self-indulgent, perhaps, and that it's not as difficult or not as rigorous as other forms of education, and that certainly could not be further from the truth, and I do agree with that. And we really haven't talked about the politics of all of this, but I do think that there has been a distrust of the arts politically in the state and in the nation for the past 20 years or so, and largely based on misunderstandings. Again, I think that artists are, you know, sometimes free thinkers or, you know, revolutionaries or all those kinds of things that might be suspicious, and that is certainly not the reality, or maybe the reality, and what's wrong with that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't get into politics, but we will a little bit, since it is so fresh in our memories, about the attempt to change the Wisconsin IDEA language in Wisconsin statutes. The governor and some members of the Republican-controlled legislature apparently thought the university should be examining more closely the workforce needs of the state in educating students. So you want to respond to that?
Well, do we have another whole hour?
No, I know.
Well, you know, obviously there was a huge backlash against this, and a lot of that came from college professors like myself. There's a lot that's wrong with that, and I think but it does exemplify exactly what we've been talking about, is the role of education is not to create people who think or search for truth, as the original of the Wisconsin IDEA said, and improve the human condition, but it is the role of education is to serve employers, and you can object to that on a practical level, because who knows what employers are going to need 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. There are certainly careers that exist now that didn't exist 10, 15, or 20 years ago. If we start defining the worth of a major based on what employers currently need, then colleges are not going to be able to respond to that as those things change. But again, I think the idea of creating educated people is different than the idea of creating workers who serve a particular ideal of what this current state workforce needs. And I think that's why there was a lot of backlash against those attempted changes, and that's why they didn't go through.
All right, let's go to Rick in Green Bay. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of make a comment a little bit about your STEM versus STEAM discussions primarily, and just kind of throw out a little warning as far as, and I think you kind of touched on this a bit too with your guest, but the acceptance of people that are in the arts field or the STEAM area often are not accepted very well. I'm an electrical engineer. I'm very right-brained. I can visualize things very well. Produce a son that teaches violin with the Suzuki music approach to kids. And he never went to school, but he found out, too, that he was kind of looked upon as weird and, just not a really good acceptance by very left-brain, non-STEAM type folks that just think there's something wrong with these people that are into the arts, or, they're often introverted as well, and the other ones are extroverted, thinking that they need to fix the introverts. So just the general acceptance is kind of a comment I wanted to make here.
Well, so what does that mean, that people shouldn't get arts degrees because...
No, I think they need to be warned that, it is a different approach, and, that they are frequently with educational system they're going to be in the elementary school. It's going to be an approach that's very structured and by mostly left-brain, non-STEM type instructors that are not going to value their journey and the direction that they'd like to go with their arts type of direction.
All right, so at least arts majors should be forewarned, Ellen?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I know that that is possibly true, but I also have lots of experience otherwise. One of my first jobs in arts management was managing a community chorus in the Silicon Valley, and a great majority of the people in the choir were engineers, you know, and designers at Silicon Valley tech firms. And possibly, again, because I think there's a real close correlation between engineering and art as far as that right brain thinking goes. The other thing is that there's economist Richard Florida, I think, was one of the most famous ones, have written about the rise of what he calls the creative class and the gradual acceptance and even search for people with creative training in business in order to, again, kind of do the creative work and do the thinking about the new directions that are needed in the 21st century. And that kind of thinking becomes more valued, perhaps we'll see the dismissing of those kind of stereotypes.
Yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up, as college costs continue to rise, and there has been a lot of debate over whether or not to follow your passion, what advice do you have to kids getting ready to go to college or their parents when it comes to choosing a degree?
I think that the most important thing is for students and parents to think about what excites children, what excites young people, what they want to do. Certainly, there are the costs involved. There are ways. Talk to your college. Talk to your advisors about ways to mitigate that cost. And but don't automatically think that you need to spend the money just on something that society tells you is going to be more valuable.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Ellen Rosewall, Professor and Chair of Arts Management at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, formerly on the Board of Arts Wisconsin and former Chair of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board. She co-wrote an op-ed for the Green Bay Press Gazette, along with her husband, entitled Stop Dismissing College Degrees in the Arts. Thanks to Chris Molina and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We'll discuss President Obama's rejection of the Keystone Pipeline and what that means for the future of oil transportation in Wisconsin and beyond. That's coming up in our next hour. Tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk with a guest who says it's time for the city of Madison to follow in the footsteps of cities like Denver and legalize marijuana. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.